This program is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those wishing to go deeper into classic Christianity with resources available in a connected age. Online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 2. Today we will be discussing A.W. Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God. Welcome to Finding Hidden Treasure, your weekly discussion of resources available for those looking to go deeper into the Christian faith. I'm Walter Hampel, and today we will be discussing the classic devotional work from the 20th century, The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. When I came to faith in 1984, the Christian bookstores that I visited at the time had a lot of books by A.W. Tozer. At that time, although Tozer had died only about 2 decades earlier, many of his books were still selling and selling well. Many Christians in the mid-1980s still had a living memory of Tozer and his ministry. If you fast forward in time to the present day, I have found that a number of people who have come to faith in Christ in the last 25 years have never even heard of A.W. Tozer. In this program, we will be discussing one of Tozer's most popular books, The Pursuit of God. I first read this book back in 1998. To be more precise, I actually listened to it. It was in the form of a book on tape. Yes, it actually was on cassette tape, which today seems as ancient to us as vinyl records or a Thomas Edison original recording wax cylinder. I listened to this book during a trip to Ohio to attend a seminary class one weekend in the spring of 1998. Frankly, I was quite moved by what I had heard. Tozer's comments about the need for a Christian to continue to pursue God really resonated with me. His point was not that God somehow continues to elude our grasp and that we are continually and constantly trying to chase him down. Rather, his point was that Christians truly have found God in Christ, yet seek to know more of him and grow further in relationship to him. In addition, Tozer's insights to the attitudes that have developed within the church that hinder the pursuit of God made me think that this man was a prophet. Please understand, Tozer never claimed to have a gift of prophecy. He never claimed to have been given visions of the future, nor did he start his writings with, "Thus saith the Lord." However, his understanding of the self-imposed and self-created barriers to a greater walk with Christ, which can be found in the church, sounded to me as if he had jumped into a time machine, noted what he was seeing, went back to his own time 50 years earlier, and then wrote a book about it. I thought he was writing about 1998, not 1948. In today's program, we will be discussing his insights. Let me give you some background on A.W. Tozer as an author. A.W. Tozer, his name actually was Aidan Wilson Tozer. He was an American minister who was part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance movement. He was born in the farming community of La Josée, Pennsylvania, on April 21, 1897. At the age of 17, he came to faith in Christ after hearing a street preacher in Akron, Ohio. In the next few years, Tozer became a street preacher himself. He also began to cultivate a lifelong habit and pursuit of waiting upon God. He set up a corner of the basement of his family's home to use as a prayer room. His lay preaching brought him into disfavor with the Methodist Church, which he had joined a few years earlier. He then joined the Christian and Missionary Alliance movement. In 1919, he pastored a church in Nutter Fort, West Virginia, followed by pastorates in Toledo, Ohio, and Indianapolis, Indiana. In 1928, Tozer became the pastor of the Southside Alliance Church in Chicago, a position he would hold for the next 31 years. In 1959, he entered into what would be his last pastoral assignment as the pastor of Avenue Road Alliance Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Tozer became well known in both the radio and print media. He preached regularly on Chicago's Moody Broadcasting Station, WMBI. In 1950, he became the editor of the Alliance Witness, the official publication of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. He held that position for the next 13 years, till the time of his death in 1963. He did not have formal seminary training, but more than made up for that with ongoing self-study. He was very familiar with the Bible and very familiar with the writings of a wide variety of Christians throughout church history. He died on May 12, 1963. He left behind a legacy of one who modeled how to continue to pursue a deeper relationship with God and Christ. He wrote over 30 books and left behind a vast collection of sermons. Fortunately, many of Tozer's sermons were recorded. A large collection of them can be found on the Sermon Audio website. I'll provide a link to the Tozer page of the Sermon Audio website on the Episode 2 page on the Restoring the Core website. In addition, Sermon Audio has a complete audio version of this book for free. It's not Tozer who's reading it. However, it is fully downloadable as a set of MP3s. The following is a minute-long clip of A.W. Tozer's sermon entitled, What Think Ye of Christ?
Now, Jesus Christ is Christianity, if the truth were known. Or turning it about, Christianity is Christ. Paul begins his gospel to Romans by saying, the gospel of God, his epistle to the Romans, by saying, the gospel of God concerning his Son. For the gospel concerns Jesus Christ and lost men. But it concerns Jesus Christ primarily and most importantly. Now, the church visible has a definite beginning. It had a definite beginning, a definite historical origin. It's easily traced back, link by link, to its beginning. Some things are lost in antiquity, and we are unable to discover their beginnings. But not so with the church that we call the Church of Jesus.
That was the actual voice of A.W. Tozer, preaching on Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 through 46. Tozer wrote The Pursuit of God, or at least the first draft of it, while on a train trip from Chicago to Texas in 1948. The book title and ISBN number will be on the Episode 2 page on the Restoring the Core website, as well as a link to a downloadable PDF of the book. Let's examine some points which Tozer makes in the book. Tozer laid a foundation for the book by his observations of where he saw the evangelical church in the United States going. Keep in mind that he was writing in 1948. See if you think this doesn't describe the way that things are going today as well. There is today no lack of Bible teachers to set forth correctly the principles of the doctrines of Christ, but too many of these seem satisfied to teach the fundamentals of the faith year after year, strangely unaware that there is in their ministry no manifest presence, nor anything unusual in their personal lives. They minister constantly to believers who feel within their breasts a longing which their teaching simply does not satisfy. I trust I speak in charity, but the lack in our pulpits is real. Milton's terrible sentence applies to our day as accurately as it did his. Then Tozer quotes Milton and says, "The hungry sheep look up and are not fed," end quote. It is a solemn thing and no small scandal in the kingdom to see God's children starving while actually seated at the Father's table. The truth of John Wesley's words is established before our eyes. Quote, "Orthodoxy, or right opinion, is at best a very slender part of religion, though right tempers," and the word tempers here would refer to one's attitudes, "though right tempers cannot subsist without right opinions, yet right opinions may subsist without right tempers. There may be an opinion of God without either love or one right temper toward him. Satan is proof of this." End quote. Tozer continues his exploration of contemporary Christian life in his chapter on the universal presence. In it, Tozer writes, quote, "The idea of cultivation and exercise, so dear to the saints of old, has now no place in our total religious picture. It is too slow, too common. We now demand glamour and fast-flowing dramatic action. A generation of Christians reared among push buttons and automatic machines is impatient of slower and less direct methods of reaching their goals. We have been trying to apply machine age methods to our relations with God. We read our chapter, have our short devotions, and rush away, hoping to make up for our deep inward bankruptcy by attending another gospel meeting or listening to another thrilling story by a religious adventurer lately returned from afar. The tragic results of the spirit are all about us. Shallow lives, hollow religious philosophies, the preponderance of the element of fun in gospel meetings, the glorification of men, trust in religious externalities, quasi-religious fellowships, salesmanship methods, the mistaking of dynamic personality for the power of the spirit. These, and such as these, are the symptoms of an evil disease, a deep and serious malady of the soul. For this great sickness that is upon us, no one person is responsible, and no Christian is wholly free from blame. We have all contributed, directly or indirectly, to this sad state of affairs. We have been too blind to see, or too timid to speak out, or too self-satisfied to desire anything better than the poor average diet with which others appear satisfied. To put it differently, we have accepted one another's notions, copied one another's lives, and made one another's experiences the model for our own. And for a generation, the trend has been downward. Now, we have reached a low place of sand and burnt wire grass, and, worst of all, we have made the word of truth conform to our experience and accepted this low plain as the very pasture of the blessed. End quote. In chapter 1, on the topic of following hard after God, Tozer contrasts Christians of his time, and really ours as well, with Christians of earlier times. In chapter 1, in Following Hard After God, Tozer writes, quote, "To have found God and still pursue him is the soul's paradox of love, scorned indeed by the too easily satisfied religionist, but justified in happy experience by the children of the burning heart. Come near to the holy men and women of the past, and you will soon feel the heat of their desire after God. They mourned for him, they prayed and wrestled and sought for him day and night, in season and out, and when they had found him, the finding was all the sweeter for the long seeking." Moses used the fact that he knew God as an argument for knowing him better. "Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight." And from there, he rose to make the daring request, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." God was frankly pleased by this display of ardor, and the next day, Moses was called into the mount, and there in solemn procession made all his glory pass before him. In this next quote, Tozer makes a further contrast, this time between the simplicity found in Christ with the complexity of seeking him by copying the methods of this world. Tozer writes, quote, "Every age has its own characteristics. Right now, we are in an age of religious complexity. The simplicity which is in Christ is rarely found among us. In its stead are programs, methods, organizations, and a world of nervous activities which occupy time and attention, but can never satisfy the longing of the heart. The shallowness of our inner experience, the hollowness of our worship, and the servile imitation of the world which marks our promotional methods all testify that we in this day know God only imperfectly, and the peace of God scarcely at all." Tozer continues, "If we would find God amid all the religious externals, we must first determine to find him and then proceed in the way of simplicity. Now, as always, God discovers, or that means he reveals himself, to babes and hides himself in thick darkness from the wise and the prudent. We must simplify our approach to him. We must strip down to essentials, and they will be found to be blessedly few. We must put away all effort to impress and come with the guileless candor of childhood. If we do this, without a doubt, God will quickly respond." End quote. In his chapter on the gaze of the soul, Tozer observes the biblical link between looking and the act of faith. He writes, quote, "Our plain man, in reading this, would make an important discovery," that is, reading scripture. He would notice that look and believe were synonymous terms. Looking, on the Old Testament serpent is identical with believing on the New Testament Christ. That is, the looking and the believing are the same thing. And he would understand that while Israel looked with their external eyes, believing is done with the heart. I think he would conclude that faith is the gaze of a soul upon a saving God. Please note that when Tozer is referring to the Old Testament serpent, he's not referring to the serpent that's found in the early chapters of Genesis that tempts Adam and Eve into the first human sin. Rather, he's referring to a bronze serpent which Moses made at God's command so that Israelites who had been bitten in a plague of snakes would be able to look at that bronze serpent and live. The Lord Jesus makes a parallel to this in John chapter 3 when he says that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert for healing, so that he would be lifted up for the healing of those who believe in him. I highly recommend this book, The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. Much of it will sound as if Tozer wrote it last week. It is that current. Tozer has a way of dealing with both the negative of how people aren't coming to God correctly, but he also deals with how to come to God and how to pursue him, and I pray that that balance has come through accurately in this podcast. I would like to leave you with a final quote, which is the end prayer. This is the one from the last chapter, and I would like to read this in your hearing. I think it's a great way to conclude our episode for today. Lord, I would trust thee completely. I would be altogether thine. I would exalt thee above all. I desire that I may feel no sense of possessing anything outside of thee. I want constantly to be aware of thine overshadowing presence and to hear thy speaking voice. I long to live in restful sincerity of heart. I want to live so fully in the Spirit that all my thought may be as sweet incense ascending to thee, and every act of my life be an act of worship. Therefore I pray in the words of thy great servant of old, I beseech thee, so for to cleanse the intent of mine heart with the unspeakable gift of thy grace, that I may perfectly love thee and worthily praise thee. And all this I confidently believe thou wilt grant me through the merits of Jesus Christ thy Son. Amen. Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We are on Facebook at www.facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active and can be found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.